All right. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, unto them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Oh, Father, as we rise up from our sleep, we know, Lord, that you are pouring out grace upon grace, that your mercies are upon us as you look on your children. And Lord, you are so full of pity for us. Lord, we are but dust, and you know our frame because you have created us. You know our weaknesses, and you know the things that we stumble on. So, Lord, we just thank you that you are so quick and willing to forgive. We thank you for calling us out of darkness into the light. We thank you, Lord, for provision, for having our sins removed from us, so that we may have fellowship with you. Lord, we just pray, as we look into your word, that, Lord, your word would have its effect on us, that your Holy Spirit would just permeate our lives, that we would be continuously filled, led and guided by you. Oh, Lord, thank you. Teach us now, Lord, as we look into your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Oop, too far. So, in the second epistle of Peter, we notice from the onset, if we compare the two from 1 Peter to 2 Peter, we see that the title has been altered a little bit. It seems that Simon Peter has added something that was necessary, as we all need to be. In First Peter, he starts off with Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. But here he's added something that's very necessary and very relevant to our lives. And he says, Simon Peter, a servant, first of all, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You see, apostle isn't really a title as it is it just means sent. Sent by God. That's what an apostle is. And we are all sent by God because in Mark it tells us, go into all of the nations and preach the gospel. But it also says, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you have been filled with the Spirit of God. So, in other words, let us not be so hasty to go out and blabbermouth things that we really aren't really sure of or we really don't know anything about. But we need to wait for the empowering of the Spirit of God. We need to know who God is, first of all. Now, it says in here, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter's putting a particular spin on this that I think is something that we need to pay heed to. He talks about a precious faith. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ was very precious to him. Now, there are things that are precious to us. And if we were to enumerate them, it would be husband, wife, children, very close friends. These are the things that are precious. These are the things worth maintaining. If you go through your life, what is it that you find to be precious in your life? The most precious thing in your life. And, you can do, a quick inventory. And what would those be? Hopefully, there's none of them are inanimate objects. A lot of us have a close relationship with our phones because we just gaze at them all. Now, I can't tell if the phones are actually on and we're looking at ourselves and, oh, yeah, that's it. But it's immaterial because our focus is on this phone and the information that it gives us. I see it's like I eat lunch and I sit in the cafeteria and everybody's on their phone. Now, I'm guilty because I'm doing the same thing. You look around and this seems to be the thing that attracts their attention most. Whereas you know, as I go outside, you know, it's praise and worship unto God. I try to, you know, just look at the beauty that the Lord has given me for the day. The sunshine, the clouds in the sky, the blueness of it. You know, and the trees and the birds that are singing and all of the things that the Lord has created. And then I look at the cars and I think about the people that are in those cars. Do they know the beauty of the Lord? Do they know the graciousness of our God? And it spurs me on to be a witness. And that's what the Lord has called us to be. Be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, how can we do that? Well, first of all, sin had to been dealt with. Now, when Peter here is writing this, he's saying, who have obtained. Now, we have already obtained like precious faith. But is it really precious to us? Is it precious to us enough to maintain it? And so, when sin is dealt with, man, a great burden has been lifted. And I pray that each and every one of you who names the name of Christ, this is how you came to know Christ. That the burden of sin has been lifted. It isn't so that you can escape hell, which it's a good thing, but it's not the most important thing. It's not so that you can get into heaven. That's a good thing, but it's not the most important thing. You see, heaven is being with the Lord. And the only way that we can be with the Lord is have our sins removed. And we need to take stock. We need to take heed of our lifestyle. What is it that we're thinking about? What is it that's going through our mind day after day, month after month, year after year? Is it the things of this world, things of this flesh, how to satisfy the things of our lust, as he was talking about here, that we've been delivered from? Or is it to give praise and glory unto God? Do we see the Lord in all things? Do we, you know, ask him to, you know, Lord, I acknowledge you in all of my ways. Lead me in the way where I'm supposed to go. And I need your Holy Spirit. I need your Holy Spirit to be poured out on me so that I may know your will. So that I may know your word. So that the things that I have read before will be the things that come out of my mouth. So that when I meet people, I am the ambassador that you have sent me to go, to be. I am going out in your strength. I am tarrying in Jerusalem until being filled with on high, and then I'm going out. And we can do that every morning as we rise up. As we open our eyes and face a brand new day, we can say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. So that I may be an ambassador for you. And this sets our mindset for the day. And as we're giving praise and worship unto God, what of the flesh can come in then? Because we're giving praise to the Lord. We're asking for the forgiveness of our sins, to be cleansed so that we can have that relationship. And so we're now being filled, we're being empowered to go out and do those things that the Lord would have us to do. Now, not everybody is called to preach the gospel, at least by their words. But we are called to preach the gospel by our actions, by the things that we do, by the things that we say, by our mindset as we meet unbelievers. You know, there are many people around, you know, in the workplace, they're just weighed down by the job. And you can see it in their faces. They're all, man. If they're not on their phones, you know, but you can see the despair almost in their faces, the burden that they're carrying. And you know what a smile will do for somebody? First of all, it catches them off guard. Why are you smiling? You know, that's a door opener. You know, you say, hey, how are you doing? And I've caught many people off guard, and they just kind of like, you can see it, they're just kind of rattled. Why are you talking to me? Like, you know, why do you even care? But we're supposed to give forth the joy that's in our hearts. And if that's and that's a good thing for us to go through in our lives, to see, is the joy of the Lord my strength? Is it the joy of the Lord, or is it a mechanical thing that I make happen? And this is what keeps ourselves pure. Oh, Lord, I've been going through the motions. I've just been doing this by force of habit. I've been doing it for 20 years. And, you know, and I've fooled myself into thinking that I have the joy of the Lord when I'm really in despair. I'm despondent. I need your Spirit. All the things that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ are done by his Spirit. If anything of our flesh, anything that we can muster up in ourselves would be worthy enough for God, it isn't going to cut it. It would be law. We're trying to earn our way. We have to yield. We have to submit. We have to become a servant. Now, a servant serves. I know that's a big revelation for a lot of you, but that's what a servant does. A servant serves. And who are we supposed to be serving? We're supposed to be serving the Lord that bought us. He purchased us with his blood. And we've accepted the bargain and become a bond slave into what he wants us to do. And all he wants us to do is reflect the relationship that we have with him. So let us do that. Let us cultivate that relationship so that we do reflect that. We have righteousness. We have the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, by reason that we have obtained like precious faith. So grace and peace is multiplied unto us through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So, if we don't have peace with God, if we don't have the peace that passes all understanding, what is it that we need to do? That's the neat thing about Proverbs. Proverbs tells us what it is that we need to do. We need to acknowledge the Lord in all things. Acknowledge him. He is God. He directs us. And so with that, we have peace. In a world today that is so filled with anxieties, it seems like there's everything in the... If you ever had one of those little washing machines, the old-time washing machines with the ringers on them, you know, I used to sit there and watch those things, and this thing would just churn up, and all of this, the dirt from the dirty clothes would be coming up, and, you know, you just kind of like, you're looking at this, and that's what the world is today. It seems like every time that you get a news feed, people don't open newspapers anymore. Does anybody read a newspaper? Okay, we got two. All right, two folks, but mostly it's the news feed that comes out. But somebody is churning up something about somebody, and casting up dirt and mire. And that's what the scripture tells us. That the ungodly, the heathen are like the raging of the sea, casting up dirt and mire all the time. And so they're doing what they're doing, but it makes people uneasy. It makes people afraid. You know, we're so afraid of losing our freedoms. We're so afraid of losing our country or this or that or the other thing. And this party is going to win the election, and that party is going to, what are we going to do if this happens? And the other thing, and more and more and more, we see that all of this dirt and this filth is being, and what does it do to us? Do we have peace about these things? Didn't the Lord tell us that in Matthew 24, he says, you know, there's going to be distress of nations with perplexity. There's going to be a distress that they can't do anything about, that there is no answer for. This all comes from the hand of the Lord. If we have that knowledge, then we're going to be at peace with it. The Lord's got it. He told us it was going to happen. He told us 2,000 years that this was going to happen today, in the end times. So I can be at peace with that. And I can bask in his grace, knowing that he's got me. Because I know that when I leave this world, I'm going to be with him. So all of the things that are going to be happening to me, hey, he's got me. He's got my back. He's got my front, my sides, you know, the tops, the bottoms. He's got everything. So I can be at peace. And if I don't have that peace, what do? I go to the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. That's where we get it. The more knowledge you have of something, the more at peace you're going to be about it. I know I'm in the technology field, and I know that, hey, when I get a ticket in my queue, that, hey, somebody's, their internet is down. Well, I have the knowledge to know how to fix that. So I can, with confidence, call that person up and help them through that problem. See, that's where you get the confidence from. That's where the peace comes in. But, man, if I didn't have any clue about that, I'm going to be in anxiety. I'm going to say, how do I fix this? What am I going to do? How am I going to do, you know, that kind of a thing. It's the same thing with the Word of God. The more you know about the Word of God, the more you know about Jesus Christ and the things that he is doing for you and the things that he continues to do, and the more that we need to rely on him, you see, that's the knowledge that we need. That's what the Proverbs tell us. That's what the Psalms tell us. That the Lord is, he is supplying all of our needs through the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his divine power. hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. This puts me in mind of Ephesians chapter 4:17. You know, we talked about we have all of these things, you know, through Christ. We're just really along for the ride. We give him access to our hearts. He permeates our lives. And we are a reflection of that to other people that are without. His divine power. Like Jesus Christ, he took on flesh, he dwelt among us, and he fulfilled the law. But he did all things through the Holy Spirit. He gave up the rights of himself so that we would follow suit. We would give up the rights of our, you know, our vast resources, our vast intellect, our great heart. We give all of that stuff up so that he can shine through us, so that we will love people with his heart, so that we will do things through his mind. We will put on the mind of Christ. And it's his divine power that makes all that happen. Because it's life, eternal life, and godliness. We forget about that sometimes. As believers, you know, we think that, okay, well, I've arrived. I've got everything handled. But in actuality, we have not put on godliness. You know, we put on Christianity or churchianity, if you'd like to call it that. We put on those things that, well, this is what I'm supposed to care about and this is what I'm supposed to hate. But that's not what God tells us to do. He says to love your enemies. You don't see too much of that in the blogosphere these days. It's all about hating your enemies. It's all about what you're against. Most of the people in the world only know what Christians are against. They have no idea what Christians are for. And that needs to change. And it needs to change with us. How can we love our enemies if we're hating them? We can't. But how can we love our enemies in anything that is in ourselves if we hate them? That's the flesh coming out. The only way that we can love our enemies is with the love of God. And so we have died to ourselves, and we are resurrected with Christ, and we are walking in his power, taking on his divine nature. If we're walking in our own flesh, we're not taking on the divine nature. The divine nature dictates that we live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We don't lean to our own understandings, but we lean on the understanding of who God is and the knowledge that he has given us. He's told us all of the things that are going to happen. I've read the back of the book, and I've said this many a times, he wins. It doesn't matter how people react to it today. He wins. He's told us that we win. That fills me with confidence. I can trust him. I can trust him with my life. I can trust him with everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's going to make it happen. Again, we're going to say, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge. Again, Peter is talking about you need to know. You need to get in and study. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God. He's going to give you the information that you need, the things that you're looking for. What is it that you're desiring? What is it that you're facing today? It's in the Word, and the Spirit wants to tell you about it. He wants you to be at peace. Christians today are not in peace because they have no knowledge. It was like in the Proverbs, we looked at simplicity. You know, how long will you be simple? How long will you just stay right there at the cross? I mean, not in the respect of being at the cross, but of the knowledge. Will you not continue on in your knowledge? And that's what Peter is saying. Hey, he's called to glory and virtue. Now, virtue is, you know, living a lifestyle that reflects Jesus Christ. It's the whole aspect of virtue is having a moral compass, living a moral lifestyle. But we can't do that in our flesh because our flesh has been corrupted. It has to be by the Spirit. So all of these things happen to us by the Spirit. And he goes on, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promise. Exceeding great. He's not making any bones about it. This is what we should be after. This is the gold. This is the silver of the kingdom to come. You know, we strive to try to make a life for ourselves here, put away, sock away some money for our retirement, for our 401k plan. You know, and we're diligent to work on those things. Not that those things are bad, but when it becomes our trust, when it becomes the things that you know, just take over our lives, well then, yeah, that's a bad thing, because you're putting that, the 401k, in front of God. God is the one that takes care of you. I think about the crash of 2008. I think of the crash of, the 1920s and 30s. You know, just the people that lost everything. You know, the only people that didn't lose anything are the people that were having their trust in the Lord. They're the ones that came together. They're the ones that created soup kitchens to help the people out. They knew that the Lord was going to provide for them. They wanted to get the word of God out. So they had these soup kitchens and the places where people could sleep and give them something to eat. Whenever catastrophes happen, we always call them acts of God, and they are rightly so acts of God. Because what God wants to do is He wants to shake us up in our world. He doesn't want us to be content in this world. He doesn't want to have peace in this world. He wants us to have peace in the heavenlies. So He shakes the world. He brings these earthquakes, these tornadoes, these hurricanes, these tsunamis, these disasters of, Fukushima and things of that nature. So that we will wake up to realize that it is only in God that we can have peace. It's only in Him. And He has given us these great and precious promises. But how often do they go unread? How often do they go unheeded? These are the things that we really need to, as believers in Jesus Christ, being occupied by in our minds and in our hearts. By these you might have partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, my friends, so often we, as we go through our lives, we go on yesterday's grace. We go on yesterday's knowledge. If we could learn a lesson from the Exodus, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, the Lord specifically told Moses, "Moses, I'm going to give you the manna every day. Every morning the manna is going to be there. And it will, I'm going to lay out the frost, and the manna is going to be on there, and every morning you're to go out and gather. And on the sixth day you are go out to gather twice as much as you would on the other days. Because it will not keep overnight. Only on the sixth day will that keep overnight for the next day." And then there were people that went out and gathered, and they tried to hoard it up for the next day. And it bred worms and stank. And the Lord was displeased with that. Because He said, "Look, I've given you this bread to eat, and you didn't follow the directions." How many of us know the directions? How many of us know that we have to partake of the Lord always? It's a continual thing. It isn't just first thing in the morning. We need His Spirit in every aspect. Let me tell you, just getting here this morning was a major trial. You know how I am on the freeway. I've confessed to you my faults on the freeway. I knew this was going to be one of those days, because it seemed like everybody and their brother was getting in front of me and doing all kinds of craziness. And I'm thinking, "Lord, I need Your Spirit." It was all I could do for not close my eyes and pray. But I was praying, and I knew as these things started to happen, I knew, "Lord, I need Your Spirit. I need to put into practice what I'm telling Your people. I need to do this continually in every aspect. Every time the phone rings, every time you get that buzz on your phone and you look at it, somebody may be hurting. Somebody may be in need of the Spirit of God. And if you don't have it to give to them, then you're going to feel inadequate. You're going to be at that place, 'Lord, I should have been praying. Lord, I should have been in Your Word. I should have known these things.' When a coworker comes up and asks you about the hope that lies within you, what answer will you give them? Will you give them the proper answer? And the proper answer only comes from the Lord. The Lord says, don't think beforehand what you're going to say, what you're going to... I will give you the words when you need it. You don't need to rehearse them. You know what that is? That comes from a relationship. A relationship with Him. Because you're confident. Man, I know that the Lord is going to give me the words. Not only has He done it before, but He's given it to me as I'm driving. And the words that He gave... Don't worry about it. Just slow down. Just slow down. So what did that person cut in front of you and stopped? Just slow down. Relax. I orchestrated that. And you're just like, what? You orchestrated that? Really? Couldn't you orchestrate them to get in behind me so I didn't have to slam on my brakes? No, because I want to teach you. I want to pour out my mercy. I want to pour out my grace upon you. I want to, because I've forgiven you of your sins so readily, so quickly, I want you to forgive others. And the only way to do it is have them trespass against you. And boy, there was some trespassing going on. Let me tell you what. The Lord allowed me to exercise what it is that He was giving me. And I come to realize that if I hadn't have been in communication with the Lord, if I hadn't have been praying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me throughout my day. Not just first thing in the morning, but all day long. Lord, I'm on this freeway. You know this is a dangerous place for me. He says, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, Lord, we're good. We're golden. We're going through. Okay, I can see them in my rearview mirror. They're coming up fast. And the lane is closing. Here they come. Just relax. I got this. Okay. But if I hadn't have been, I can tell you. Well, I don't have to tell you. You all know what you would do. You'd ride their bumper. You'd give them gestures, honking your horn. That's the flesh. But see, the Spirit would have us forgive your enemies. Love them. Love them as if they were the most precious thing to you. We have a means of escape. The Lord brings us through many temptations, but He has given us a way of escape. And that is to stay in the Holy of Holies, in our hearts, in our minds, the Lord being with us always. As we come boldly before the throne of grace to ask for help in time of need. Now, we've read that thousands of times. What does that mean? That means we get to stay in that place. We're always in that place. We're always trying to partake of the divine nature by having fellowship with the one that bought us. Not leaving that fellowship. As the Mary and Martha thing. Martha was off doing what was ever, and she was getting frustrated. Man, I'm out on the road and I'm getting frustrated. But Mary sat at His feet and she was not frustrated. She was at peace. I get to sit at the throne room of God, and I can have peace throughout all of these things. It doesn't matter if somebody cuts in front of me. It doesn't matter if somebody gets promoted over me. It doesn't matter if somebody lies, cheats, steals from me. It doesn't matter, because I have the peace of God. And that is the most precious thing that I can have. My faith is the most precious thing that I can cultivate. And what's the ramifications of that is the virtue, the moral excellence of living a life that doesn't come from you. It comes from God. So that when they look at you, they're going to say, there is something different. There is something about you that I need. There is something about you that I want. I am filled with turmoil, the world would say, but you're filled with peace. You're facing the same situations as I am, but you're at peace, and I'm not. How do you do that? And then you can tell them, my sins have been forgiven. I have access to God. God lives within me. I allow Him to give me that peace. But He's a gentleman. If you want that anxiety, you can have it. He'll allow you to have it. But if you want that peace, He's more than willing to give it to you. If you ask. But you have to ask. He's not going to force it on you. I've tried many a times. Look, I've gone into prayer and fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and I said, Lord, force it on me. I don't want to not be in your spirit. He said, no, it isn't like that. Don't work that way. See, I'm used to programs, computers, things of that nature. You program it, it does what you tell it to do. Most of the times. If it did, then I wouldn't have a job, and then, but because I fix computers. However, we are not computers. We're not robots. He wants that loving relationship. He wants us to want Him. He wants us, hey, this is precious to me. Your relationship, Lord, is precious to me. And I want to cultivate that. And so He says, hey, give all diligence. Give all diligence. Verse 5, He says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, He doesn't say add faith. Faith is a gift from God. It is given to us by God. We cannot alter that one way or another. Jesus says if you had the grain of a mustard seed, then you could be able to move this mountain or tell the sycamore tree to be planted in the ocean. He's not saying that we can have, that we can alter faith any way. He gives us the faith that we need. But we can add virtue. We can add moral excellence. Now, moral excellence is something in our mind, something that we set in our mind to do because of our relationship. Now, when I got married to my wife, my life altered dramatically. Okay? There was this other person that I had to be mindful of. Their opinion mattered in my life. I wasn't used to that. I was used to doing things my own way. And when I came to know Christ, I didn't realize that, you know what, this is a life-altering decision. His opinion mattered in my life. And when it didn't, and when I didn't seek it, when I didn't seek His counsel, I got despair. When I sought His counsel, I got peace. When I sought my wife's opinion, I had peace. There's a thing out there, guys. I mean, you've probably heard this before, but happy wife, happy life. Right? I mean, that's... And so I had to please this other person. There were things that I had to make decisions about that I had to consult somebody else about. It's the same thing with the Lord. Add to our virtue, or our faith, the things that please the Lord. How do we know what pleases the Lord? Is it just something that the Lord puts on our, do you like this? Do you not like this? Well, no, it's written in the Word. What the Lord likes, what the Lord doesn't like. I can tell you, you can go to the book of Leviticus, and there's a whole long list of things that the Lord likes and that the Lord doesn't like. In fact, there are things in there that the Lord says, I hate these things. I hate these things. How many of us do those things that the Lord hates? Add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. Check the Word. Before you do anything, check the Word. Is it against the Lord's Word or is it for the Lord's Word? Is it something that the Lord desires or is it the Lord hates these things? Check the Word. And once we get done that, well, guess what? We're back to knowledge again. So now we have acquired knowledge of what the Lord likes and what the Lord doesn't like. And it's all in the Word. It's in the Proverbs. It's in the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah. You look at the things that Jeremiah preached against. Man, don't worship false gods and be destroyed. Worship the true and the living God and live. Man, we're going to be taken into captivity if we don't change our ways. If we don't repent of our sins, we're going to lead into destruction. Your little ones are going to be dashed against the stones. Your pregnant women are going to be ripped open and their babies are going to be taken out. You know, all kinds of horrible things are going to happen if you don't repent. This was Jeremiah's song. This is what Jeremiah preached to the people of his day. And they didn't listen, and they were taken into captivity. So it is knowledge that the Lord gives us and how we can please Him. It doesn't come from, the latest book on the top 10 seller list. What comes of it is, hey, the Lord has given us His Word so that we will be knowledgeable about the things of the Lord. So let's get into our Word. Let's read our Word. Let's take heed to what the Lord tells us to do, to tell us what not to do. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And all means
all.
Every bit of your being has to go into loving the Lord. Once that's accomplished, once you've mastered that, everything else is a piece of cake. Everything else is easy. Do that one thing, and the other ones really fall into place. If you're loving the Lord, you're seeking what pleases. I asked my wife, what pleases you, dear? We're going to go out to eat tonight. Where would you like to go eat? I don't know. I don't know. What do you want to eat? You ever get that, guys?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to ask for a show of hands here. And then she says, well, what would you like to eat? Well, you know what I want to eat. Steak and potatoes. Okay? You want to have broccoli or whatever that nasty stuff is, you go right on ahead. Steak, potatoes. Got the meat group. Got the vegetable group. We're golden. Yeah, because you get a salad with it, too. Turn up your nose at me. You know that's what you want. Right, guys? Huh? Are you with me? All right. But you give him the opportunity, right? But the Lord gives us the opportunity as well, doesn't he? Are you going to do the right thing? Are you going to do the wrong thing? Are you going to go after the accordance of your will? Or are you going to go to the accordance of God's will? He's asking you. You know, what would you like to do today? What would you like to do today? Would you like to walk in sin? Would you like to walk according to the flesh? Or do you want to walk according to the Spirit? Do you want to please God or yourself? It's a choice. He gives you that choice every moment of every day. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the flesh. The flesh leads to death. The Spirit leads to life. Okay, so you have that knowledge. And we got that knowledge from the Word of God. You see how that works? We got just a little bit of knowledge here. Spirit, life. Flesh, death. Okay, which way do we want to walk? It's a choice. Okay, I want to choose what you want for me. And as we go through the Word, he says, I want to give you life. If you know me, you have eternal life already. Wow. All I did was make the choice, yeah, I want life. And now the Lord lays on me a little more knowledge that I already have eternal life. And guess what? The Lord already says, you are already glorified in the eyes of the Father. Already. We haven't even left this place yet, and already we've been glorified. That's great. Uh-oh, wait, there's more. After knowledge, temperance. Now, temperance is the things that we abstain from, to not put too fine a point on it. We all know temperance from the temperance movement back in the 20s. Remember that? How we tried to legislate righteousness. Let's ban alcohol. We're not going to have alcohol in our nation. You know, that worked out, you know. But it proved to us, it should have proved to us, that you cannot legislate righteousness. Righteousness comes from the heart. It comes from a relationship, not from laws. We said that illicit drugs were illegal. You see how well that's worked out. Now we have drug lords. We had booze lords before, now we have drug lords. So trying to legislate righteousness doesn't work. It didn't work for Israel during their time. It's not going to work for us now. The Lord doesn't want a legal relationship. He wants a relationship. He wants a personal relationship. He wants a loving relationship. He wants the relationship that we have to God to be precious. So precious that we would not do anything to violate that. Something that, man, we desire most than anything else in this world. And so I am going to stop doing this. If somebody else doesn't do it, that's okay. But I am not going to do this because I know that this is a weakness for me. I'm not going to do this over here because I know that that's a weakness for me, and I will fall into sin if I do those things. This is a personal choice. That's what temperance is. And this is what an example is. I don't do this because I know that it's my weakness. Somebody else may not have a weakness with it. That's okay. I'm not going to put my temperance on somebody else that says, well, if you do those things, then you must be, you know, you must be a sinner. You must be walking and go to movies. Huh? Huh? You listen to music? Oh. You dance? Oh. You see? You see how that can snowball into a bondage? But no, it's because I know that in myself, if I do these things, it's a weakness, and that's temperance. I'm not going to do those things because I honor my Lord more than I honor myself, and this is a weakness for me. This will lead me into sin. I know this. I'm not going to do it. You see? And then we get into the patience, because we're patient with one another. We know that the Lord has forgiven us. We know that He's forgiven us a great debt. A debt that could not be paid. And so we're patient with others. We're patient with those that are without the fellowship. We pay patient with those that are in the fellowship. We're not so easily offended. So many people today are so offended about everything. My goodness. You sneeze without into your... or cough without into your elbow, man. And it's just like, oh my gosh, you're spreading, you know, typhoid Mary or something. You know, come on, really, get off of it. Man, when did you guys get so sensitive? Really? Man, get some Desitin on there and get yourself fixed up. Because we're supposed to be inoffensive in our own self. We're not supposed to be offended by people. The world is offensive. We're supposed to be forgiving. We're supposed to be loving because the Lord has loved us. We should be the most patient people out there. You know, we look at folks and we need to be full of pity. Now, pitiful takes a different connotation these days, but that's what the Lord says. Man, He is full of pity and has pity for His children. We should have that same attribute. We should have pity for those on the outside, on the inside. People that are continually falling because they don't know any better. And this is where we pray for one another and help one another along and encourage them. We're full of pity. And this is what the Lord does. And as we grow in that, we come to realize that this is what the Lord does for us. And we're endued again with more knowledge about how the Lord works. If He's saying that this is what we ought to do, this is what He does. And He's given us example after example after example. If your brother should sin against you for the same offense 7 times, is that enough? And the Lord says, no, Peter. 70 times 7. Not that you're supposed to count, but over and over and over for the same offense, because that's what the Lord does for you. And that cultivates, my friends, godliness. And we touched on that before, haven't we? Godliness is to be godlike. To be like God. So that when they look at you, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that happening today? Do they see Jesus Christ in you? So we all have work to do. We all have things that we need to examine ourselves about. What is it that's lying within me? What is it that I'm feeling right now? Why do I feel this way? Is there something underlying, Lord, that needs to be taken care of? Please search this out for me, because I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be pleasing to you in my heart, in my mind, and in my actions. These are the things that I want to have as a sacrifice unto you. And Romans tells us, you know, that we lay down our lives as living sacrifices so that we will emulate those things that the Lord has done for us to others. We are being transformed day by day, moment by moment, by the Word, by prayer, by fellowship with others as well as with the Lord. And He transforms us into His image, not the other way around. And unto godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love, or charity. These are the things, you know, these are going to be, you know, it's going to happen. Once we have attained this aspect of being a reflection of the Lord, kindness is going to be one of them. Because the Lord doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't condemn anyone. He wants all to come to righteousness. You know who does the condemning? That's the other guy. Red flannel pajamas, horns, you've heard of him. Satan. This is the one that condemns. So if we're going about condemning others, whose work are we doing here? We got to stop and realize, man, what is it that's coming out of my mouth? What is it that's coming? What's in my heart? Why am I feeling this way? Lord, take this out. I need to have more of you, less of me. So with all of that, Peter then begins to instruct us. If you have like faith, if you have like faith, these are the things that are important to you. These are the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the example that you've given us. We thank you that, Lord, that you have given us your Spirit so that we can know things out of your word. We can know who you are. We can know what you want us to do. But more importantly, Lord, we have that precious relationship. Lord, I pray that it would be precious to each and every one of us today. The most precious thing that we could possibly have is a relationship with you. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be poured out, that we would continuously ask for your Spirit to be poured out among us, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.